great to be here today. I'm really thankful to see everybody we have with us. And let us praise God for your presence. And thank God for your presence. This morning we're going to discuss a subject that might seem kind of unpleasant to some of you in a way. And you think about it, you think about blood. Blood is not something we like to think about. But blood is very important. You know, when we see an animal killed and the blood running out of an animal or all of our own cells, and it's kind of yucky and it's awful to look at, and we don't like to think about it or touch it. But blood is a source of life. And in this blood, sometimes it has diseases and things like that can be. But we want to look this morning considering blood, if you will. It is essential to your life. It's essential to mine. It's essential to the life of all flesh, as I say flesh, of mammals and animals that have blood. In the blood, that's the red blood cells, and they carry the oxygen and the food to the cells, and that they burn that food and bring back the waste. And these things are so very important to our life. And also in his blood is what's called the white blood cells. And this flows through the body, and this protects the body. These white blood cells is what builds up around the sore or something, to like the immune system, to fight off infection and disease. It is the life of the body. And if you think about that, and the church has a blood that flows through it, and that it is the life of the body. It's so important, the blood is, and God has always recognized that. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, we'll start reading verse 4. It says, "But the flesh, the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." He's telling those Hebrew people not to drink blood, not to eat those things. "And surely your blood of your life will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, and for the image of God made he man." So you see, to take somebody's life, to shed somebody's blood, is a very awful thing, and God requires punishment for it, even from the days of the beginning in Genesis and the start of life. It's always been important, and he tells us to abstain from things strangled and from blood in Acts 15, verse 20. And so today we need to be aware of the importance of blood, and it has spiritual significance in that it was pointed toward the blood of Christ, and that it is a life-giving force, and it has a spiritual part that we need to recognize and realize as being very important. I want to turn over to Leviticus 17, verse 10 through 14. In Leviticus chapter 17, we'll start reading here in Leviticus. We'll read 10 through 14. "And whosoever, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So it's given to the children of Israel for atonement. And for that reason, you see, we're not to eat and drink it. It's considered as a very precious thing because it was by the blood of Christ. All of this pointed toward the blood of Christ, and all of ours points back to the blood of Christ. And Christ is the center of the Bible, the center of our lives. And by this blood, it is very important, and by it we're saved. We read in the Bible that Moses turned water to blood in Exodus 19. In Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 to 25. There was one of the plagues that brought up on the Israelites. And you can just imagine if every time you looked at the water, you saw blood. And that was a very disgusting thing to all of those people. And they were like we are today about blood. You don't want to have blood. You don't want to get blood on you. You want to be, you know, blood's kind of something different from other liquids and things about us. It was blood that was put on the doorpost so the death angel would pass over. Let's turn over to Exodus 12. In Exodus chapter 12. Here in Exodus 12, we're going to begin reading verse 3. This has many significant parts and things about it that point toward and pertain to our salvation today. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of it the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs and with the protuberances thereof, meaning the inside inward parts. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. So that lamb that was slain that night is representative of Christ. That was the sacrificial lamb, as Jesus is the Lamb of God, that was sacrificed for us, that the death angel would pass over us, that we would have his blood upon our doorpost and upon our lantern. You see, blood is very important. It was important from the very beginning with God. God required a blood sacrifice for man for sin from the very beginning, pointing toward Jesus Christ. Turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We'll get reading here with verse number 1. And we want to read Genesis 4, 1 through 10. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was still in the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But of Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. What, I am a brother, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So, you see, the blood of his brother, of Abel, cried out to the ground from God. And we also see that Abel was a tiller of sheep, so we see and think there that Abel probably offered an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Cain being a tiller of the ground, probably brought the fruits of the ground. And so we can say that it's always been important to God, this blood. Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be blood shed for us to have remission of sin. And Jesus shed his blood for that purpose. Blood sacrifices were required of the law of Moses all the way throughout it, as we read in Leviticus 17. Let's turn back to Leviticus 17, verses 1 through 6. Leviticus 17, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel, say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Can you imagine the thought of all the blood that was spilled, that was shed during the Mosaic period? Once a year we read about that sacrificial lamb. But whenever they sinned, they had to bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And you think of it. Probably a million people living in Jerusalem when Christ came. Can you imagine the number of priests that took care, of all that? And all the blood that was flowing must have been quite a bloody ordeal. A terrible thing. He goes on here about this, and he says, verse 5, and to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for a peace offering unto the Lord, and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifice unto the devils after whom they have gone on whore. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout the generations. You know, I thought it strange that someone pointed out to me that, you know, what mentioned Acts 15 and 20, abstain from things strangling from blood. Well, those old time sacrifices that they made to idols, they drank blood. And they ate things that were strangled. And here he's talking about that here, over here in Leviticus. Blood sacrifices were required of God. You know, today when we teach the gospel, and when we preach in the church and the pulpit and the things that we stand for, and we see people that are lost in the world and we don't warn them about their lost condition, or we don't teach the truth from the gospel and we preach a perverted gospel, that we are guilty of the blood of the lost people in a spiritual sense. That blood is upon us. Like he was talking about here, this blood will be unto them. You know, that blood, their blood is upon us. The scripture teaches that. Look at Ezekiel in chapter 33. We'll start in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6. He says, but if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will require thy hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman of the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word in my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die of iniquity, but his blood will require thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die of his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, God put this responsibility upon those people that proclaimed the messages, were watchmen to the house of Israel. And you know, Saul, the Apostle Paul, he had the same feeling. He had the same concept. He had the same understanding. God held him accountable to warn those that were being lost. And he said, their blood will I require at your hand. Look, turn over to Acts chapter 20. And so we have the same kind of concept to us today. The church being a pillar in the ground of truth, a place to preach the gospel and proclaim the truth, and the people in it, being you and I, are the church. We are watchmen to the world. We are responsible to preach the gospel to the world and to proclaim the truth. Acts chapter 20. We want to start here with verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I am not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, I'm not guilty of their blood because I have proclaimed the counsel of God to them all. And today, as Christians, we are to proclaim the counsel of God to the world about us. We are to warn them of their coming doom and destruction. We are to warn them about the state that they're in of being lost, that our hands would be cleansed or pure of their blood, and we would not be guilty of their blood, their spiritual blood. Look at Acts 18 and verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So, you see, he gave them warning, just like Ezekiel said. If you warn them and they don't receive it, then you're not guilty of their blood. You're cleansed of it. You're not guilty of their lost soul. But if they're going to lose their soul, and we keep our mouth shut and do not warn them or speak the truth to them concerning this condition, then we are guilty. We're guilty of their soul. It is a responsibility we need to realize as Christians, of those who understand the gospel, that we are called by God to give warning to the lost. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all power is given in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he gives a command to go teach. Go teach. In Acts 8, we can read where Christians like you and I, they were preaching the word. To teach a lie about salvation. To teach a lie about God's salvation, about Jesus Christ, is to commit spiritual murder. Is to kill people's souls. To teach that people are saved outside of Christ. You know, we're just all saved by grace, and to teach that and there's nothing for us to do and leave them outside of Christ, that's spiritual murder. To teach that your salvation is all of grace, or to teach it that you're saved by faith only, and then there too you're committing spiritual murder because you're leaving people outside the body of Christ. You're leaving them outside of the blood of Christ because you haven't brought them into that covenant with God through the process that God proclaimed. Jesus' blood is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. His blood, by His blood and in His blood, we have a new and better covenant with God. Well, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll begin reading here in verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. So we see that it's by the blood of Christ that we're cleansed. And as you notice, a lamb without spot, Christ was without blemish. And that's why that lamb had to be without spot that they sacrificed that night over there in Egypt. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For when they would have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and in burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus Christ, once and for all, made the ultimate blood sacrifice of his life upon that cross, and his blood was poured out for our sins. And now, by the blood of Christ, we're justified. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're brought nigh by Christ's blood. It is Christ's blood that makes us right in the sight of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to begin reading here with verse number 2. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now let's come down to verse 18. For as much you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, for us. Jesus died upon that cross for us. And he came and he gave his life there, and it's by his blood that we're cleansed. It's by his blood that we're washed and cleansed and justified, and that by his blood that we're brought nigh to God. By his blood we're purchased. We're bought with a price, the blood of Christ. In Acts 20 and 28, the Apostle Paul said to those elders there, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It is by the blood of Christ. Being in the church, we've been purchased by his blood. We've been in his blood, and by his blood we're cleansed. 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light, sees in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sins. Romans 5 and 9, much more then being justified by his blood, ye shall be saved from wrath through him. In Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And in Romans 1 and 5, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's in the blood of Christ. His blood cleanses us, not anything else. His blood is what makes us acceptable in the sight of God. His blood is what makes our works acceptable to God. And the things we do, that they count before God. How does Christ wash us with his blood? He died nearly 2,000 years. He died over 2,000 years ago on that cross. How are we going to get in the blood of Christ to be cleansed and washed with it, to be covered by it? How are we going to be covered by that blood today? If you think about the literal of outpouring blood over something, that would be kind of an icky thing. But we want to be in the blood of Christ. We want it poured out upon us. We want to be washed and cleansed in it. And how do we do that? The scriptures are quite plain, quite understandable if you think about them reasonably. In Acts 22 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul was told, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins." Well, we have in Romans 1 and 5, that it's the blood of Christ that washes us from our sins. Same thing. And we are told that in the blood of Christ, through the blood of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, they're teaching the same things. It's in baptism wherein we come in contact with the blood of Christ. You want the blood of Christ applied in your life, and you're going to have to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Paul wrote at Romans. Look at Romans chapter 6, if you would turn over there with me now. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin reading with verse number 3. "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And I ask you, where was Christ's blood shed? In his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." What about your life today? Is it covered by the blood of Christ? Are you justified by the blood of Christ? You know, it is Christ's blood that justifies us and cleanses us. And then we'll rise to walk in newness of life with a dedication to live for him, to show him that we love him and appreciate what he's done for us. For that reason, we war against sin. For that reason, we live a life to glorify him. And we try to do works and things in this life that bring honor and glory to God and to Jesus Christ our Savior. If you're here this morning and you never obeyed him in obedience to being baptized into him, to be covered by his blood, we get the opportunity to do that this morning. If you're here today and you might be, maybe you need a confession and a promise to pray for one another.